Are you tired of your digestive system feeling like a circus act gone wrong? Introducing Ritual's 3-in-1 Gut Superhero Symbiotic Plus. A probiotic, prebiotic, and postbiotic all rolled into one. And with 25% off with the code POWER, there's no better time to check out Ritual. Let's break it down. Probiotics are like the cool kids at the gut party, keeping everything in check and making sure the good vibes are flowing. Prebiotics are their wingmen, fueling the party with all the right snacks to keep the good bacteria thriving. And postbiotics, well, they're like the cleanup crew, sweeping away the mess and leaving your gut feeling fresh and fabulous. So say goodbye to the gut drama, and remember, there's no more shame in your gut game. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/power. Sober Powered is sponsored by BetterHelp. I was a stress drinker, and I thought, if only I didn't have so much stress, I wouldn't have to drink this much. But do you know why I had all this stress? Because I didn't have the skills to take stressors off my plate, so they built up and wore me down. Some stressors are big and others are small, but carrying around 25 minor annoyances is going to have an impact on you. Plus, did you know that alcohol messes with our stress response system and decreases our ability to handle stress? It makes small things seem like a much bigger deal. Learning how to manage stress and take things off my plate has changed my life. I'm calm, I'm less reactive, and I believe that I can handle whatever comes my way. I feel proud of the way that I handle things now. You can get there too. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/sober to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/sober. Tossing and turning all night like a salad? It's time to put those sleepless nights to bed for good. Enter Tenassi, my sleep saviors, and they have science to back up their sleep, anxiety, and pain-relieving powers. Back in 2016, they invested a $2.5 million grant to Middle Tennessee State University to study the hemp plant. Turns out their special patent-pending CBD-CBDA formula is twice as effective as CBD alone and can be more effective than over-the-counter ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and aspirin. So if you're tired of tossing and turning like a rotisserie chicken, then Tenassi's got your back with their range of great products from tinctures to gummies to lotions. Tenassi is my go-to when I can't sleep or I have way too much anxiety. I'm so glad that I discovered them. So go to Tenassi.com and use the code POWER to get 25% off your order. That's Tenassi.com, T-A-N-A-S-I, to get 25% off your first order with the promo code POWER. My greatest shame. The moment that should have been my rock bottom, but wasn't. Honestly, I never thought that I would share this story, but I realized recently that this story doesn't have any power over me anymore. Shame was a big problem for me during my drinking and when I got sober. I thought that I would never get over it. I had bad memories play like movies in my head, and I had no control over when it happened, and I couldn't make it stop once it started. In this episode, I'm telling the full story of my greatest shame and tips for how you can move forward from your own shameful memories. So let's dig in. Episodes. And whether this is the first episode that you've ever listened to, or you've listened to all 200, or somewhere in between, then thank you for being here. I really appreciate you listening. I appreciate your support. I appreciate your nice reviews and comments. I like to do something special for my milestone episodes, so I thought that we could have story time today. And I want to tell you the story of my greatest shame. So let's set the scene. I was 28 and working in the city. My brother and I were going to see Ghost in concert, which was his favorite band at the time. Neither of us had ever seen them before, and I knew that my brother was so excited for this show. Unfortunately, my company's holiday party was on the same day, so I thought I'll just go to the party for an hour and then go out with my brother. And you are probably imagining what happens next. If you know about my story, then you know I quit drinking at 29, so I was in the worst part of my drinking here. I had unintentionally started chugging drinks at this point. It wasn't something that I consciously thought about. It was just the way that I drank. So at the company holiday party, I drank 3 glasses of wine in 1 hour. And when you're kind of buzzed and you're pouring more wine, sometimes we either over or underestimate the weight of the bottle and we kind of pour it weird. Do you know what I mean? I saw someone observe me doing this, and I saw the surprised look on his face, and I was so ashamed. So I met up with my brother, and we went to dinner and shared a bottle of wine. I love my brother. He's my best friend, always has been, always will, but he was a drink pusher when we hung out. I'm not sure why, because he actually barely drinks. The only time he ever really did was when he was with me. I had only planned on sharing one bottle and then not drinking at the concert. But as you probably know, how often do we really follow through with our moderation plans? So unfortunately, we chugged the bottle before dinner arrived. So you can't have dinner without wine. So we decided to get a second bottle. And then we chugged that one too. So I had had 3 glasses of wine in 1 hour at the company party, and then an entire bottle of wine to myself at dinner with my brother in maybe like 90 minutes. You may be starting to cringe. That's almost 2 bottles of wine in 2.5 hours. I'm a little lady. I cannot drink that much that quickly. And really, like, that was my limit overall before bad things started happening to me. But I don't want to give any spoilers for the story. So by the time we got to the concert, I was destroyed. The show started and I thought I was going to die. We were in the Boston Opera House too, which is a very big, fancy venue. Not like we were at the Palladium or something, if you know the area. I told my brother that I had to go to the bathroom and I left. So this was a really big venue, like I said, and we were in the back of it and it was leveled. So I had to walk down what felt like 100 flights of stairs. And by this time, I realized I was going to be sick. I tried to calmly go down the stairs on my way to die in the bathroom at the Opera House. And as I got to the last flight of stairs that was going down into the main lobby, I stretched my leg out to take the first step and my brain clicked off. I must have just dropped. I came to probably only 1 second later and I was tumbling down the stairs. I don't remember the falling part. I just remember the tumbling. So I rolled down the entire staircase into the main lobby of the Boston Opera House into a huge crowd of people. They were so concerned and they came over to check on me to see if I was okay. But they must have recoiled a little bit when they saw my face and saw how drunk I was and my googly eyes and the sweatiness and the redness. I was that girl that showed up to the concert drunk. It had literally just started. Like, the people in the lobby hadn't even found their seats yet. I was that girl. So I picked myself up as quickly as possible and I ran to the bathroom and I died in there for an hour at least, throwing up over and over and over. And my brother was texting me and calling me, trying to find me. He didn't know where I went. I didn't tell him that I was going to the bathroom to throw up. I just told him I'd be right back. And then I just never came back and wasn't answering my phone. So eventually it stopped and I was trying to pick myself up to go see my brother, who I knew was very mad at me. And then I dropped my purse in the toilet just to add to it. My brother was pissed. And it's actually a night that we have never spoken about ever again. But I don't think he holds a grudge. And I have actually had the opportunity to take him to see Ghost two more times since that time. I'm actually like always on the lookout for concerts that I think that he would like, because I feel like I need to make it up to him. And the last time that we went was pretty recent and we had an amazing time. So I feel like I've finally redeemed myself. I remember after I got home, I looked at my bruises. I had so many bruises. I was actually pretty hurt. And I had glassy, red, swollen eyes. And I looked at myself in the mirror like, what the frick? And I thought, how can you keep doing this to yourself? And then I tried to reach out. I told a friend who had been struggling with her drinking too, but she was really not in a place to help me. Other people that are actively suffering can't support us. They can't even help themselves in that moment. So I continued to isolate and do it on my own. And I genuinely believed that I was the biggest loser that had ever existed. I thought that my relationship with my brother was destroyed. And I felt shame for ruining the first time he ever saw his favorite band in concert. I carried this shame privately in my heart until I was, I think, close to a year sober. So over 2 years after this moment happened, I finally told my husband, and he was like, that's it? That's your greatest shame? Like, he thought it was going to be this whole big thing. And then months later, I told my therapist, which was really scary because I thought she wasn't going to like me anymore if I told her. So I'm sharing this story now because I actually realized this morning that I don't carry the shame anymore. And I want you to feel hope that you won't carry your shame forever either. It took me years to recover from the shame of this story. I even broke my brand new phone that night. I cracked the back of it, and every time I looked at my phone, it was a reminder of what had happened. I finally got a new phone recently, 5 years later, and it felt so freeing to get rid of it. Now, when I look back, I don't feel shame. I feel cringe, obviously, because man, that is quite a story. But mostly, I just feel so overwhelmingly sad for myself that I had to go through all of that. I feel sad that after that happened, I continued to drink and stay in the cycle for another 11 months. Although I did have a break in there, if you know my story, but I was in the cycle for 11 more months. And every time I messed up, which was at least weekly, I shamed myself for not being able to stop and for being a loser. And when I finally quit, I shamed myself because my greatest shame should have been my rock bottom. Basically, it was a lot of shame. And now, after everything that I've learned and all the information that I've taught you across the past 200 episodes, I'm able to feel empathy and compassion for myself. It's really sad and unfortunate that so many things aligned all at once to create that bad night. And it's sad that that night of humiliation and shame wasn't enough to shock me out of denial. It's sad that I suffered for another 11 months. So why am I sharing this story with you that I thought that I would never share? Because I hope you're thinking, wow, poor Jill. I cannot believe that happened to her. And I hope that you don't think I'm a loser for my greatest shame. I hope you're surprised because you have a good opinion of me. And if I'm not a loser for tumbling down the stairs at the Boston Opera House and then throwing up in the bathroom for an hour and ruining the concert for my brother, then why are you a loser for the things that you did? If you do the work consistently, then you will let go of your shame too. And it may take you years, but you'll be able to see the story differently and forgive yourself. When we hear other people's experiences, we can find empathy and understanding for them and for us. And I'm also sharing this story because I want you to know the horrible memories that you have and all the pain that you carry can lessen over time if you face it. I've heard from a lot of people that they choose not to go to therapy, not to join a community, not to go to a meeting, or not to get sober because they can't cope with their past. Some things are really horrible to deal with, and I'm sorry that you have those things. But we can spend the rest of our lives avoiding it and suffering because of that avoidance, or we can face it and move through it to the other side. Avoiding things keeps us stuck in the pain forever, and it's easier to avoid and suffer forever than it is to face it, work on it, and learn skills to cope with it. But the work is worth it. I spent my life being controlled by shame, bad memories, and regrets, and now I'm not. You might have your own greatest shame that keeps popping into your head at random times and making you miserable. But imagine if you could get to where I'm at with mine, where it's just a factual story that sure maybe has a little bit of cringe, but it has no moral value at all. I talked about the science of shame in episode 87, if you're interested, but some people are more prone to shame than others. So if you're more prone to shame, then it's going to be a bit tougher for you. I'm very shame prone. That's why it took me so long. So here's what helped me. I shared the shame. I shared shame stories when I could with my therapist, with my husband, my friends, and people in online sober communities. Shame thrives when we keep it a secret. And what helped me the most with this too was realizing that once I told the story, I never had to tell that person ever again. We could just refer to it as my greatest shame or the story about Barcelona or whatever. The story can have a title and you both know what it is and you never have to get into it. I also worked on building self-esteem and confidence. The more that you like yourself, the easier it is to not let shameful memories be a morality problem. As long as you've truly changed, of course. What started my self-esteem journey was keeping a promise to myself every day that I wouldn't drink. If you're not keeping this promise, then it's difficult for you to build self-esteem. So you need to start there. And I also did not allow myself to ruminate. Sometimes I can't help it because, like I said in the beginning, the shame hits me like a movie and sometimes there's no pause button. But I forced myself to either tell my husband I'm thinking of bad things, which he knows is code for I'm stuck in a shame spiral, or I forced myself to get up and do something. Sometimes shame memories pop into my head the moment that I wake up. And I have no control over it. But what I do is I make myself get out of bed and I go feed my cat Rudy, who you've probably heard meowing in recent episodes. So I distract myself and then the movie stops. If you're struggling with shame about your drinking, then please know that it will pass the more that you stay consistent with the work and getting support. It can be really helpful to get around people who understand your experiences and have their own shame to share. This is why meetings are so helpful. So if you haven't found a community yet, then I hope you'll come check out my community. You can get more info in the show notes. And I also really encourage you to get into therapy because a therapist can help you learn skills to combat the shame and to build your self-esteem. So thank you for listening to however many episodes you've listened to. I hope that you'll check out all 200 because they all build on each other. So if you want the full picture about the science of alcohol and addiction, then go listen to all 200. And here's to 200 more episodes, and I'll talk to you in the next one.
It's Erin.
And I'm Michaela, and we're the hosts of the Two Sober Girls podcast, and we are on a mission to spill the wild truth about sobriety.
Forget the rosé all day cliche. Sobriety is flipping amazing.
Absolutely. It's not just about quitting the drink. It's a gift you give yourself and your loved ones.
So what are you waiting for? Break up with that old toxic relationship with alcohol and let us show you the possibilities.
And here's the thing. Everything your precious heart desires becomes way easier without the influence of alcohol.
We're not just two sober girls. We're also wellness coaches. We're here to show you how to optimize health, lifestyle, and beauty, feel sexy and alive as F.
So stay tuned because we're rolling out new episodes every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. And trust us, they have your name written all over them. We can't wait to share the magic of sobriety and wellness with you. Subscribe to Two Sober Girls podcast today and come follow us on Instagram for behind the scenes action and send us a DM. We can't wait to meet you.